C.W. Gortner joins us by phone tonight. He's the author of a number of books of historical fiction, including The Last Queen and Chanel. Tonight, we're going to talk about his latest novel, which explores the life of Marlene Dietrich and is titled Marlene. I am delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati. Thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
I want to start with Marlena's childhood because I think her adult public life is pretty well known to many of us. But in terms of where she grew up and who the members of her family were, and most of all, probably what the times were like, would you fill us in on that, C.W.?
Well, you know, she was born in Germany shortly before the Great War, and she comes from an upper middle class family. But of course, the Great War decimated Germany. And so the family, though it had a family name, was impoverished. So she comes out of this sort of change in the world, which is what the Great War creates, where all of a sudden people, the world they know no longer exists. And so she had to find her way in a new world and in a new Germany. And I found that really fascinating, that she was a girl who a certain something was expected of her, and she does the unexpected, find a completely different path. Not that other girls haven't done that. I mean, girls have been doing that since time began. But how Marlene goes about it is what's so interesting. And I felt that that was an important part to show in the book, because who she becomes is a direct result of how she was raised and who she was expected to be.
And you show us that in contrast to her mother and her sister, who are her core family, if you will, yes?
Right, yes, absolutely. You know, her mother was a very interesting character, you know, a woman of a certain era who had been widowed young, very prideful, had taken to house cleaning, you know, really wanted to raise her girls her way. Again, an example for Marlene, very antithetical to Marlene in character, but very much an example to Marlena. And I think it was important to show that because the mother is a strong character throughout the book. I mean, Marlena had a bond with her mother that was often contentious and acrimonious, and they didn't get along in many ways and didn't agree on very much. But what Josephine Felsing instilled in her daughter stayed with Marlene throughout her life, you know, a strong work ethic, a strong sense of who you are and what needs to be done and what's right. I wanted to explore also a little bit about what it felt like to be a German after the Great War, and then what it felt like to be a German when the Nazis come to power, especially a German who didn't agree with the Nazis. Because we kind of lump everybody into one grouping around the Nazi period. And there were many Germans who didn't agree, Marlene being one of them.
She marries in her early 20s, and she has a daughter, but she continues to focus on acting in Berlin. She's in Berlin. And there were two directors that gave her interesting tips. One told her she should play the seductress and go out and get some experience about it. The other is Joseph von Sternberg, who gives her a cue about lighting, but obviously he's a major change agent in her life. So talk about their relationship and what comes of it, if you would.
Well, you know, Joseph von Sternberg is a wonderful character. He was a fascinating man. You know, he made some amazing films, his technique with lights and shadow, and you know, he comes out of the silent era and he brings some of that sensibility into sound. And you can always recognize a von Sternberg film now based on his tableau, how he did things. But he was very eccentric and very, you know, unique in the way he approached film. And he shot chronologically, which was, you know, unusual and almost unheard of today. And with Marlene, he kind of came across her by accident. She was performing in a review and he was looking to cast this role of Lola Lola in The Blue Angel, which was going to be a big talky film, a sound film for the USA, a German studio that he had been hired out from Paramount because he was working in Hollywood at the time too. And he was looking for someone raw and uninhibited, and every actress in Berlin was dying for this role. I mean, you know, everybody wanted to work with von Sternberg. He could make a career. He had previously made Emile Jannings, the German actor. His film for Emile had won Emile the first Academy Award for a male actor in Hollywood. And Emile Jannings had become very famous in Hollywood. So, you know, everybody wanted to work with him. And Marlene had no really idea what he was testing her for. I saw the test for The Blue Angel, her screen test. And he hadn't given her the script ahead of time. He didn't tell her what she was testing for. He hadn't told her what music he wanted her to be singing. And you see her getting more and more impatient in this screen test. And it's what he wanted. he wanted that raw aggressiveness. But what's interesting about their collaboration is that as much as he shaped Marlena's image and created sort of the Dietrich that we know from the early 30s, she sort of molded him. They became so inextricably linked that he didn't survive the parting of their collaboration. I mean, he never was able to recuperate the career that he'd had when he worked with Marlene. Well, she went on, of course, to have many careers. It's a fascinating sort of Svengali-type relationship, and yet she's never really his puppet. You know, as much as he's molding her, she's molding him. And it's a wonderful match. You know, it's a perfect match between an actor and a director.
She remains married to the same man. His name is Rudy all of her life, but she's always focused on her career. And she does take this exhortation to practice being a seductress to heart, from what I could tell. So she has a number of relationships along the way. Can you just give us a list maybe of who are some of the lovers in her life?
One of her most famous lovers was Gary Cooper, young Gary Cooper. They became very infatuated with each other, making Morocco, and continued an affair off and on for many years. She slept with John Wayne. She slept with Mercedes de la Costa, who's not a very well-known name to us today, but was a woman who worked in Hollywood, was a screenwriter, was a very well-known poet, was also had been a longtime lover of Greta Garbo's. She later on became a lover of General Patton.
Yes.
Anna Mae Wong, who's a very famous Chinese-American actress who Marlena had known in her Weimar era Berlin days. So Marlena was, open with her favors, and gender wasn't a consideration. What's remarkable about her is that when the affairs ended, she retained them as friends. I mean, she had this art of keeping relationships alive and not putting demands on people, because she didn't want any demands put on herself.
Her mother has a motto, which, can we say that that becomes Marlena's motto also, which is do something. I thought during the Second World War, you really see this influence, if you will, coming into play. So what does she do during the World War II?
I think she struggled for many years as a German-born actress, working in a constricted system that was Hollywood at this time, as to what to do about what was going on in Germany. But eventually it became clear that she couldn't remain on the sidelines. But unlike other stars who, did what they needed to do obligatorily to appear interested in the war, Marlena took a stance. Hitler had tried to lure her back to Germany to perform, to make a movie there at any price with any director. And she named von Sternberg, who was an Austrian Jew, which, of course, didn't go over well at all. And then she basically gave Hitler the biggest middle finger she could. And she applied for U.S. citizenship, got her family, her husband and her daughter out of, at the time they were living in France, got them out of France, into the United States. And then she went off to perform for the USO. She was recruited by Bette Davis to be part of the Hollywood canteen, which, where stars went to serve meals and perform and give the GIs ready to dispatch to the front some love and glitz before they went off to war. And Marlene was so affected by the experience. Bette Davis was tireless with the Hollywood canteen, another heroine of World War II. She's rarely recognized for what she did, but she's almost single-handedly put that all together. Marlena decided that she wanted to go perform for the troops at Bette Davis's urging. And so she did. And she went off and she performed in North Africa. She was in Rome when the city was falling, when they were pushing the Nazis out. And she did over 500 performances, more than any other USO entertainer at the time. And she did this all with a Nazi bounty on her head, because the Nazis had decided that she was public enemy number one, because she turned her back on them. And she had actually openly showed her contempt for the Nazis, that they decided they were going to put a price on her head. And so she was, performing in very war-torn areas. I mean, bombs were literally going off and putting her health and her life on the line to entertain the troops. But I think on some level, Marlene was also motivated by the fact that she wanted the world to know that not every German was a Nazi. That here was a famous German actress, who was saying, no, I don't agree. I don't believe that what they're doing is right. And I'm going to stand up for what I think is right. And there's very much where the do-something comes into the fore.
This is really a fascinating portrait of a fascinating woman. Thanks so much for the book. Thanks for visiting with us tonight. It's a pleasure.
Oh, so welcome. Thank you for having me.
I've been talking with C.W. Gortner about his latest book. It is titled Marlena and is a fictional account of Marlena Dietrich's life. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. And I'd like to add to those of you who might have noticed that Mr. Gortner used two different pronunciations of her name, Marlena as well as Marlene. According to his publicist, both ways are correct. However, Miss Dietrich's daughter, Maria Riva, refers to her as Marlena. I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm going to sing you a few songs from my picture. Well, let me first sing you the song which brought me into pictures. I was a student in a theater school in Europe when a very famous American film director, Mr. Joseph von Sternberg, came over there to make a picture. The name of the picture? The Blue Angel. He had looked at all the actresses and couldn't find the one he wanted for the part, and finally looked at us students. And one day I received a call to come and make a test for the part. And I was told to bring along a very naughty song. Well, I was so sure that I would never get the part that I went there without the song. But the director had great patience with me, and he said, you know, you have to sing a song for this test. And I said, yes, I know, but which one? And he said, well, as long as you didn't bring a naughty song, sing any song you like. And I said, oh, I like American songs. And he said, all right, sing an American song. And here's the song that brought me into pictures. You're the queen in my coffee, you're the salt in my stew. You will always be my necessity. I'll be lost without you. You're the starch in my color, you're the lace in my shoe. You will always be my necessity. I'll be lost without you. Most men tell love tales, and each tale dovetails. You know each known way, but this is my own way. You're the sail in my love boat, you're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'll be lost, lost without you.